This broadcast is addressed especially to lecturers in training colleges and to inspectors of schools in the hope that they may cooperate in putting into effect some of the ideas and suggestions which I have made in the course of these broadcasts. But they are addressed also to teachers in the hopes that they may welcome and make use of such courses as I am about to describe. You will probably agree with me that lectures and broadcast talks generally have very little effect upon what is actually done in the schools. In order to introduce any method into the classroom, it is necessary to have actual practice in teaching. In any course of teacher training, it's the practice teaching which really has an effect upon what the teacher does. He needs to see the thing done, to do it himself, and to be helped by a supervisor to do it correctly and to the best advantage. Now, it is very difficult, by means of a one-year or even a two-year course, to have any great effect upon the schools. Because, however large the training colleges are, and however many they are, their output is a mere trickle, a drop in the ocean of the educational system as a whole. Many of these highly trained teachers are absorbed into the few best schools, and they are put into top classes, and some of them are lost to colleges. They have little effect upon the lower classes, and they do not affect the examination of the subject in the educational system as a whole. Now, it is not possible to change the examination so as to measure the results achieved by the highly trained teachers, because such a change would result in plucking about 80% of the total candidates sitting for the examination. As a result, the examination tends to discourage the highly trained teachers. They can't do what they've been trained to do because it doesn't help pupils towards passing their examination. You can't change the examination until you have made some general improvement in all the schools, in all the schools. You must get some general improvement in all the schools and then change the examination. And in order to do this, you must have a short course, or something of about a month or not much more, so that you can have several courses in the year and train a lot of teachers quickly, so as to make some small advance. Such courses train the teachers to use set lesson forms. The training is entirely practical, and the aim is unambitious. The course consists of demonstrations of a lesson form and practice teaching in using that lesson form. That's all. The best, as well as the cheapest sort of training course, is one which trains the teacher in his own classroom. That is much better than training given in an alien, unfamiliar circumstance. I will describe how such courses have been conducted in four different countries at various times during past years. Step one is to prepare for the course. It is necessary to adjust the school timetables so that there are three English classes in progress at one time, and a circuit is arranged for the supervisors, two of them, so that they may go from school to school and see some 15 teachers a day each. We have three teachers teaching English at the same time in each period because it is not necessary to sit right through the whole lesson of one teacher. especially in this sort of teaching, where the whole class is busy working for most of the time, and the teacher is only active now and then. Step two, it's necessary to obtain some lecture room, either in a school or in some suitable building, with space for a small demonstration class. That demonstration class would consist of perhaps only a dozen pupils who are collected out of school hours and given a small compensation for serving in this capacity. Now the course itself. In the evening, there's a demonstration lesson showing a particular lesson form, say the dictation lesson form, or the grammar lesson, or a speech lesson, or a read and look up lesson, or an ordinary reading lesson. Those are the five lesson forms usually covered by such a course. Each demonstration lesson of this kind is followed by 4 or 5 or possibly 6 days of practice of that form by the teachers. So on the first day there's a demonstration lesson, on the second day there's a discussion of practice teaching done so far, any special difficulties, and on the third and following days there may be a criticism lesson by some of the more successful teachers. Then a new lesson form is demonstrated, and so the course goes on. The evening session lasts for about an hour or an hour and a half, not more. During the daytime, the two instructors are running round the various schools seeing classes. There are two circuits. One instructor goes round one circuit and the other goes round the other circuit. Halfway through the course, they change over. Each teacher has a notebook which he puts on his table. As the instructor goes into the room, he takes up this notebook and he writes various remarks in it, various suggestions to the teacher or notes on points where he was going wrong, and not forgetting words for praise when justified. But he does not, of course, at any time intervene in the lesson. In fact, he makes himself as inconspicuous as possible. This is very, very necessary, as the teacher is teaching in his own class. The instructor also has his own notebook. In this, he keeps a record of all his visits and what he has noted about the teachers. The two instructors consult together at the end of the course and make a report to the department on each teacher, marking them A, B, or C. It is desirable to have a local inspector of schools associated with the course, or at any rate to have some officer of the Department of Education, so as to give the course authority. And, this is very important, so as to carry on the work after the conclusion of the course. There is one difficult problem in this course, and that is the unresponsive teacher. There are some teachers who are almost untrainable. They have their own ideas, and nothing will change them. There are those who cannot be persuaded that language learning is a learning process and that overactivity on the part of the teacher can be an actual handicap to the pupils. Very often these teachers can make quite good teachers in higher classes where they are teaching literature and those aspects of the language work in which the aggressive teacher is actually useful. It is better to advise their transfer to a higher class. They can certainly prove a difficulty in the highly practical course of this kind, which is mainly concerned with work in the lower classes of the school. Some people who are not actually taking a part in the course like to attend the evening sessions and watch the demonstration lessons and see what is going on. Now, this is very desirable up to a point, especially when those who come are senior officers of the department or headmasters of schools and so on. But one does not want a big crowd, especially at a criticism lesson. The lessons in this style of teaching are very unspectacular, and a large audience tends to make the student teacher start showing off. The spectators of a lesson should be kept in a close ring round the class. Otherwise, with this very unspectacular and individual style of teaching, they will not be able to see or hear what is going on. Now, I do hope that those who are listening to this broadcast will not get the impression that I'm describing some plan which I've thought out as something which might be a good thing. On the contrary, it's a description of actual courses which have been conducted in several countries on several occasions, and they have all been very successful. I have only one criticism of them, and that is that they are terribly hard work for the person in charge. This is the last of my broadcasts. In conclusion, let me express the hope that what I've said may have been helpful to my fellow teachers in the unfavorably circumstanced schools. In one sense, we teachers in such schools are fortunate because we are compelled to face realities. The teacher in the small, favorably circumstanced school may get away with a badly planned lesson with multiple aims in which he or she talks far too much and the pupils spend far too much time merely listening. But the teacher in a big class is forced to realize that language is a thing which is learnt by practice. It is learnt by the pupils. He cannot, if he is to get results, stand and talk in front of the class. The pupils will soon get restless, and anyhow, they will not acquire practice in the use of the language. His job is to help the pupils to do the work. This realization that a language is learnt and not taught might produce better results even in the most favorably circumstanced school, where things are too easy for the teacher and the devastating results of his or her talkativeness are less evident. Well, so I must say goodbye to those who have been listening to me. And if I may, in bidding you goodbye, I would like to leave one last saying with you, and it is, a language is learnt rather than taught, and too much teaching can be an obstacle to learning.